Hi, this is Eddie from Big Ed's Barbecue in Waukegan, Illinois, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network, sucker.
Hey, it's Mistress Carrie, and you are listening to Studio 2009.
There's nothing wrong with your podcast player. Do not attempt to adjust the volume. Hello and welcome back into our studio. You are now inside Studio 2009, only on the Geekcast Radio Network. I'm, of course, TF Show and Mike, and joining me once again in the Fast Saga is my good old buddy Sean, a.k.a. Old Schools. Hello, sir. How are you?
What's going on, man? I'm here for number six.
Yep. Film six, but this is part five, because this is...
Yes.
Yeah, that stupid third movie is like, oh, we're going to give you a third movie, but because it's out of story order, one-off. But which is funny because this film actually ties the the third movie into the whole franchise at the end of this. But yeah, Fast and Furious 6 from 2013. We are 1 year away from the 25th anniversary of the first film, and we are covering all the way up to Fast X from 2023. And yeah, so just the facts for Fast and Furious 6, as I mentioned, came out in, was released in theaters May 7th, 2013, was the Empire Lancaster Square release, and then the May 24th of 2013 was the U.S. release. Had a running time of 130 minutes, had a budget of $160 to $260 million, and the box office at the time was it made $788.7 million. Yep, yep. And
well, what's pretty cool about this is when they were doing five, before they started filming for five, they automatically, once they knew that Toretto was pretty much signed on,
yeah,
they were already writing Fast and Furious 6 before they even started filming for five. How far ahead they knew that they were going to take it, which really surprised, I guess, Justin Lin. And Chris Morgan just took it away. He just, I think Lynn's like, wait a second, we haven't even got through five yet. Why are you, you know, so it actually helped get five to lead into six much better. So,
yeah. Well, Morgan, as a writer, I actually looked him up. He started on Tokyo Drift. That was the first film he had written for this franchise. His first film that he ever wrote was 2004's Cellular, which I think was the... Was that the Jennifer Lopez? No, that was the Chris Evans, Kim Basinger.
So that's who I have to blame for Tokyo Drift. That did not belong. I'm sorry. We can go through this until we're blue in the face. Everybody knows that movie is like the red-headed stepchild.
We're going to get a chance next time. We're going to... They made it fit, kind of, sort of, but the... Yeah. We're going to get a chance to go through
Yeah, we'll deal with that when it comes up.
Yeah,
I will be very animated when we do that one. I'll warn you now.
Yeah, the only way Tokyo Drift fits, is through Han. That's the only way it fits. And Han in itself is the... It's a whole thing. We're going to get into that once we get to the Tokyo Drift episode, folks.
Yeah, see, I'm already wanting to start. You got one appearance from Toretto.
We got it. I know.
I mean, I know. Come on. Okay.
But I'm Chris Morgan.
Up. Move on.
Yep. Yeah. Chris Morgan started his for Fast and the Furious. The first writing credit he had was Tokyo Drift. He wrote 2009's Fast and Furious. He wrote Fast Five. He wrote this film. He wrote Seven, Eight, and he wrote Hobbs and Shaw. And that was it for this franchise. No, he was an executive on X, but he did not write Fast X. So the last writing credit he had was Hobbs and Shaw.
I do like his writing. I mean, obviously, I liked Hobbs and Shaw. I know a lot of people didn't. I did.
I haven't even seen it yet.
What?
So, yeah, no, dude,
You shouldn't be doing this then until you've seen Hobbs and Shaw.
But that's the point. That's why I'm doing this. So for me, and I think I explained this in one of our other episodes, I experience things so I can podcast about them, so I can have that natural reaction of holy shit, or oh my god, or oh this, or oh that, or oh whatever. Because
have you seen 7, 8, 9, and 10?
I've seen, I saw 7 was the last one I saw in theaters. Because 7 was the last one I saw in theaters because 7 was...
Okay, what about 8?
No, I've seen 8, but I did not... I don't think I saw it in theaters. I saw 9, but...
So basically, you've seen all the movies, just not Hobbs and Shaw.
I've not seen Hobbs and Shaw, and I've only seen bits and pieces of 10. Because okay. I'm not... I'm going to tell you right now. I'm not a Momoa fan in general. I just don't like, I don't know what it is. It's not like I don't like him as a person. I just don't like the way I don't like his acting. There are plenty of actors out there that you either like or don't like their acting. And it's the characters that the guy plays. And I just don't care for it.
Let me give you a heads up, and obviously no ruining it, but
yeah,
he was badass in that film.
I'm sure. I'm just saying from the clips
I haven't seen, watched a lot of his films either. Like, I won't go watch the superhero film of his.
Yeah, Aquaman was...
I hadn't seen any movie of his, as a matter of fact, except for what he's done in Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
Now that you say that...
Yeah.
And I thought he was wonderful.
Yeah. I don't know. So for me, like, and this is one of those things where it was like the Fate of the Furious was a catch up for me. And then Fast 9 or F9, the Fast Saga was a catch up because I hadn't after 7. And we'll get into this once we get to 7. 7 came out in 2015. Let me double
check.
I'm doing this because I know I'm going to have to edit things. Well, because I'm going to edit around myself here. Why didn't I just...
Have you edited any of me out?
I don't know. I haven't edited... As of this recording of this episode, I haven't edited any of this stuff. So
that was not part of our contract.
What contract? You didn't sign any contract.
I was told I wouldn't get edited out either.
Well, I just think you can knock out parts that I say. No. Okay, well, I'm not going to knock out good parts, but I'm going to knock out bad parts. Like I'm
going to no, you take the good with the bad on me.
No.
Here.
Okay, and people know this. People who have listened to me in the last 17 years know, and I say this every time. How I edit is I edit to make myself, not necessarily myself, but I make the product sound the best it can sound. And I want my friends and myself to sound the best we can sound. So if I
want my friends, I want your friends to realize I'm an idiot.
No. No.
I should be known as how I really am. That's all I'm saying.
So, yeah. The seventh movie came out April 3rd, 2015. And at that time, Mom was in the hospital.
Yeah.
She was a month and X number of days away from dying. So I wasn't really in the, like, I wasn't really in the right frame of mind.
Understandable. Very understandable.
And this is going to come out, and I'm going to save that for when we talk about the seventh movie. But basically, my point is, during that time, the seventh movie for me was the ending, because not only was my mom in the hospital at the time when the seventh movie came out, Paul had just died as well.
Yeah.
Because that was his last movie, was the seventh movie. Because they had to have one or two or however many of his brothers fill in during that film. That some of that filming is his other brothers filling in as the character.
Yeah. So a lot of CGI work with that.
Yeah, and that's more than fine. I would it's a whole thing. So for me, to answer your question in a half-assed backwards way, for me, Furious 7, at the time, 10 years ago, a decade ago, holy crap, it's been a decade since the seventh movie. Jesus Christ, I'm old. That was the stopping point for me. I was good. That last scene at the end of that movie where they drive away, I was good. At the end of Furious 7, I was perfectly fine with them stopping the franchise. And I say this in any franchise, not just Furious, but any of them. There are certain points in certain franchises where I feel like there's a certain stopping point, and I'm just like, okay, I'm good. I don't need another movie.
Well,
and
that's what I was going to bring up, the fact that how many movies have you and I seen, not together, but how many movies have we watched between the two of us where the first movie is awesome and the second one sucks, which that's usually the case with, I'd say, 80-90% of the movies, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And there's no reason why, but mostly it's because the same stars don't come back. They don't, you know, this. But this series has been going on, and you have to give them credit for having all their stars stay on board. I mean, there hasn't been any changes. There may have been, like, one guy played one movie, but then you didn't see him for two or three movies later. But we're talking, I mean, we're talking 10, 11, whatever movies.
Yeah.
And everybody who was there at the first, for the most part, is still there. Like when they brought that one dude who drove the Maxima back, I didn't think I'd ever see him again after the first movie, and they brought him back. But to keep us drawn in, and the way they do it is by keeping the same stars. That takes a lot. I only know of one other movie that had a run of about, what, four? And that was the one with Sylvester Stallone. And
he's got a bunch of them. So you're talking about Rocky, Rambo?
No. I'm talking about, you know,
Expendables?
The latest ones. Yes.
Okay.
They did a damn good job. They kept adding bigger and better stars.
Yeah. See, that's the thing about Fast. Yeah. No, there was only three.
Four.
No, there was only three. They never did Expendables 4.
I must have seen a four or dreamed one or something.
I'm pretty sure they never did Expendables 4 yet, because originally Expendables 4 was going to be the Expendables, and it was going to be a bunch of women. Nothing, there's anything wrong with that, but.
Okay. Well, okay, let's just stay there. So you got that.
I
the Ocean series.
Yep, 1, 2, and 3.
I don't know of any other films that have carried on past the second one. And the movies that I just mentioned have all done a hell of a job, but Fast and Furious takes them all by far. They've got to hold the record for amount of movies in a series. Or, you know, I don't know of anybody else who's gone this far with it.
Yeah, I didn't realize Expendables 4 came out in 2023, because I stopped watching after the third movie. But you are correct. There was a 4 in 2023. So sorry.
I'm like a bad girlfriend, dude. I'm always right.
Stop it. But yeah, no, see, that's the thing. Like, between the Expendables franchise, between this franchise, they've only, I want to say killed off maybe one or two main characters, and never, I know they've only killed off really one main character and never brought them back,
which is
Jesse from the first movie. He never
came. Yeah. I liked him. Yeah.
The kid from the first movie.
I bet he's really regretting his contract.
Yeah.
To see the ball still going on, you can see him sitting around at a mattress warehouse going, man, I was in the first one, but you know, now here I am selling beds.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. it's always and that's what this franchise has always done, is they've always, like you said, kept the same main cast, but they've always added one or two on, like when we had the Switch. Like, people always say four is kind of the outlier kind of thing, but I think four sets it up. People say that five really set it up with the whole heist thing, and it did, but I still say four really is the, like, five is the, is really the jump off the cliff point of setting up going into the whole spy and the whole heist thing, but four really is like the precursor of that, and then five, six, and seven are kind of like the middle ground, and then 8, 9, and 10 and everything else and all that. And each film, they've added one or two new things or one or two new stars, and it just adds to the overall franchise.
Are we going to do Hobbs and Shaw?
Oh, yeah. Yes. So the current running tally is, let's see here. The Tokyo Drift is next because of how Fast and Furious 6 ends with Statham, with Deckard Shaw, that ends. So that we have to go back and do Tokyo Drift. So Tokyo Drift falls between 6 and 7, and then Fate, and then Hobbs and Shaw, and then 9 and 10. So that's the order of things. But Fast and Furious 6, Letty ain't got no memory, and she gonna bitch slap everybody.
Yeah. Definitely takes a pop at Toretto.
Oh, yeah.
Letty. This is crazy. We are not in Brazil. So now we got cars flying in the air on some 007 type shit? This is not what we do.
Man, you really gotta check that emotion. Your voice just went from Shaggy to Scooby-Doo. This is not what we...
See, man, when a woman starts shooting at you, that's a clear sign to back the fuck off.
One of my favorite parts in this movie is right after Letty and Toretto race, and they meet up in that open parking lot, whatever. Yep. And Letty leaves, and Shaw is sitting there, like, thinking he's got everything covered, and all of a sudden a red dot appears on Toretto.
Uh-huh.
And next thing you know, the red dot appears on Shaw from his side. It brilliant how that worked out. I mean, just... That was one of my favorite parts of the movie. It's like,
like, you got me covered, I got you covered. So
yeah.
Match for
and
match.
I remember watching it for the first time, and I thought, damn, they got his number. And then all of a sudden I saw that, I was like, oh.
Yep. So. Absolutely. Yeah. No, this is very, very cool. And so basically, folks, you kind of know how this goes. Fast and Furious 6, basically following the last film from the successful heist in Brazil, Dom and the crew have fled around the world and living peacefully.
Taking a break.
Kind of, yeah, taking a break. And
they've gone the clean road.
Yeah, supposedly. And... and Hobbs and good.
Yeah, no, they're asked by the law to get back in it.
Yep. And we have agents Luke Hobbs and Riley Hicks. I'll know about this Riley chick. She awfully suspicious. I saw this movie, and even now, 10 years later, however many years later that this, well, this came out in 2013, so this 12 years later, I'm like, I'm very suspicious. And that
I never thought that, man. It surprised me.
Nope. I was like, nope. She got something wrong with her.
What do you? How did you know that? I mean, what could have possibly?
I mean, besides remembering it, it's just one of those things where I was just like, this is not going to go good. Just the way she acts, and just the way that I don't know. She just seemed too squeaky clean.
Well, you had an insight on that then, because I was all hook, line, and sinker on board with that deal. Yeah. And you're a lot better at it than me, because I was caught by surprise. The other thing about this movie is it's definitely one of my favorites, because Toretto has a car just like what I drive now. So it's really cool watching, you know. I'm like, man, I got one of those sitting in my garage, dude. Of course, you haven't. I don't think you've ever seen my newer car. So,
not unless you've posted pictures of it on Facebook. I haven't.
I have, yeah. It's my banner, but I think the last car you knew me in was the Corvette.
Probably. And that was probably about 10 years ago.
So the car he drives is what I drive. Same color, everything. And it sits in the garage most of the time. So, yeah. It's like if something happens in a movie that you do or you have, I mean, you definitely get more excited about it.
Yep.
So, go ahead. Yep. Sorry. Absolutely. Didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. Absolutely. And yeah, so it's this whole back and forth of trying to figure out what Owen Shaw is doing. Because Owen Shaw, played by Giselle, Luke Evans is Owen Shaw. He is a former British SAS major who leads a group of skilled mercenaries to steal high-tech devices worth billions on the black market. He is hijacking a military convoy, which brings him into conflict with Dom. So, and he has these, he's one of these, you know, he's one of these black market dealers where he pays his people for the last job and then the current job and then this job and that job and all this and all that and everything else. It's just one of those things where this movie is so cool. It's so fun. It has so many moving parts to it. Some of my notes that I took down as I was watching it, the EMP control chips. Nope. Don't ever want to come across one of those things.
Oh, yeah.
Man. Like, Nope. So, yeah, that's basically, and this is, you know, he's after all this stuff, and he's basically one step ahead of everybody because he's got Riley in with Hobbs, and Hobbs doesn't even realize it. It's too late, and I love how they do. I love how everything ties together to all the other movies, at least up to the point of four, where Brian actually has to go
back
undercover, into prison to talk to Braga, and come to find out that all the stuff that happened in four was basically because of Owen Shaw. I was like, really? Huh. Interesting. I mean, it was also because of the cartel.
Owen Shaw was responsible for taking Braga international.
Yeah.
Braga was just local. you know, he was your local gangster.
Yeah. But
after getting with Shaw, because he had done so many little things for Shaw, Shaw broke him out into international, which bumped his game way up. So I like what Braga said. He says, the only way you get close to Shaw is if he wants you there.
Yep.
So.
And then everything with Letty, like, oh, man, that's good storytelling.
Yeah, like, that was hard to deal with.
That's hard to deal with, but that's good. Like, don't just make Dom think she's dead. Don't just make him think that Phoenix killed her. Make it look like that.
But I think it was worse on Brian than it was on Dom.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, because
his acting when Brian was found out, I mean, Brian actually teared up. I mean, that's strong acting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I like the conversation that he tries to have with her, and she even says,
Brian,
don't even worry about it because you know better than anybody. Nobody makes me go anywhere or do anything that I don't want to do.
Yeah. And that is one thing who people who have watched this series knows.
Yep.
She is a forceful chick. So forceful that I'm not a fan of her character. I think she's too manly. I think she's like, there's no prettiness to her. She's just like, you know, like I wouldn't want to date her, you know. Might beat my ass. But yeah, I've never been a big fan of hers.
I don't know. I like her when she's with Dom, and I like her when they are kicking ass together. I don't like her when she's just there to be I don't know. It's just, it's
for me, she's just not very girly. That's all.
Hmm.
Do you see her girly?
In certain moments, it just depends on what, but again, the character isn't meant to be girly. That's the thing. Not all characters are, but she has certain moments. And I think the girly moments for her, the vulnerable moments for her are when she's with Dom, when they're by themselves, when they're being romantic. Every other moment, she's not letting that guard down for anybody. She's supposed to be the badass in public.
She got that part down.
Yeah, she does. Find out that Owen's hideout in London is a distraction because they are performing a heist at the Interpol building. And what do you think of that custom car of Owen's that he's fleet? Oh my God, that car.
Well, one of them, the one Owen was driving was a two-door. The one the girl was driving was a four-door, which I thought was kind of cool. So it's like a jet fighter where you got a co-pilot who sits right behind you. So that part was cool, but almost unrealistic. But, you know, hey.
The Fast and the Furious franchise? Unrealistic? No.
Just think of all the cars they ruined. I mean,
that's true.
Just that part of those slam cars.
Yep.
How many cars they destroyed.
Oh, yeah.
And then the tank scene. I mean, I'd love to see their bill on
no, you just.
Oh, can you imagine?
Yeah, I get billions. Yeah, I can. No, you.
God, they destroyed a lot of cars and property.
Yeah.
You know, when the BMW was chasing Shaw, I mean, he goes through with the slam car, whatever it was, he gets shot by one of those things that takes his car out.
Yeah.
And he goes through a glass building. I mean,
yeah,
that had to cost a fortune to repair.
Yep. Yeah, I don't think any of these people in these film universes, in the written story universes, are thinking of property damage or thinking of what the cost is during any of this stuff.
Well, you know, just
people often talk about the property damage the superheroes do in like the Marvel movies or the DC movies. Hey, the supervillains ain't thinking about how much it's going to cost to repair windows in a bank. And think of the line in Fast Five when Mia was like, did you guys just take out a bank? You guys will not believe this radio chatter I'm hearing. Like, they're not really thinking about that, but I get your point. Like, it's so crazy. And the stunts are so good.
Okay, I got a side note for you, by the way. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Okay. But
today, I saw a little reel on Facebook, and it had about three or four 1950-something cars, you know, different brands, different whatever, on the 2nd Street Bridge, and had Metro Safe out there, and all that was told was that it may be a movie filming, you know, that type of thing, but it was on the 2nd Street Bridge. Do you know of any new films that are filming here in Louisville?
I don't think so. I don't know off
the top of my head. It's either a TV show or a movie that they're filming for, and it showed four 1950-style cars parked on the bridge. On the 2nd Street Bridge. Yeah, it was a reel on Facebook today. I saw it and I was like, wow, okay, cool. I've not heard anything about it. I thought Mike might know. Being the movie buff, but I don't want to get too far off subject. But while we were talking about everything else, I did want to bring that up and ask you.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'd have to do some research on it after the show.
Yeah.
So like I said, Brian goes into prison, gets the information from Braga. Let's see here. What else happens? Tej purchases all of the cars or several of the cars from the auction for the mission.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
They take the guy's shirt, the pants. Yep. Oh, and I like that watch.
Yeah, I like that watch. I want that watch.
Mm-hmm. They thought they were kitchen help. That was good.
Yeah, that was hilarious. Like, I'm sorry, no one thinks Hobbs the Rock.
I don't see your entourage, so I know you're not a baller. But you think back to when the movie started, it had basically what each individual was doing with their share of the last draw.
Yep.
And of course, you know, they all get that call to like, oh, we got to go. And they go to Roman and he's like, I have vouchers for the buffet, you know, on his plane. As the plane pulls off, what does it say? Roman
something. I forget now.
Yeah. Roman's plane, bitch. Or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
On the tail. Those are his call letters.
Oh, God.
That's Roman.
That's Roman for you. Good old Roman Pierce.
Yeah. I think back to when they brought him into the series. That was a good one.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Too Fast, Too Furious.
Yeah. His entrance was great.
Yeah, was great.
And he's been there ever since, you know. So yep. Their crew has been incredible. But this movie was definitely, the plot was one of the better ones. Score that high. This was like their, I don't know, sixth highest grossing film out of all the series. It wasn't up there with the best of them.
I don't even know I would have to look at all the boxes. I'll do that once we get to Fast X at the end of the end of the franchise.
I already did. It was the sixth highest draw.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, and it's story-wise, six, so yeah.
It grossed $788.7 million, making it the sixth highest grossing film. Well, that's of 2013, so.
Yeah, absolutely. Time that it was made, so, yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, overall, I like it. I like the end of the plane chase where they're trying to hit the flap with the harpoon and all that.
I didn't like that scene because we lost, you know.
Yeah, we lost Giselle. Yeah. That was rough.
She's been great, but I can understand why. She had a lot of other movies she was doing, so.
Yeah, but still, that was.
I mean, she got super popular super fast.
Oh, yeah. Well, absolutely, she did. But still, like, I don't know.
I mean, her ticket just blew up. I mean, one minute, you don't even know who she is. The next minute, she's in every other movie out, it seems like.
Yep.
So she probably couldn't have done 7, 8, 9, and 10 anyway.
Yeah. Probably not. I don't know. Yeah, from 2010 to 2016 was her break. Was one from 2004-2009, Ms. Israel of Service. And yeah, so she debuted in Fast and Furious. That was her first film as Giselle.
Yeah.
And then she did Fast 5, 6. She was in 7. Wait. Oh, credited and appears in a deleted scene. Okay. So.
Yeah, it's memories.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then she went to do the Wonder Woman stuff with Dawn of Justice and then Wonder Woman.
Not just that. I mean, she did a ton of films.
Oh, no. I know. But wait. Yeah.
Yeah.
But basically, yeah. Ralph Breaks the Internet. She was Shank. Between Two Ferns. Wonder Woman 84. Justice League. Red Notice. Death on the Nile. She did come back. Uncredited appearance. Post-credit scene for Giselle in Fast X.
Yeah. I mean, all Red Notice, she was great in that. She was really great in that with Johnson. The Rock.
Yep.
And of course, my favorite actor, Ryan Reynolds. He's great.
Oh, man. That's crazy. You got a DC Marvel crossover in that film. She's Wonder Woman. He's Deadpool.
Yep.
So, but yeah, Fast and Furious 6 was good. I enjoyed it.
It didn't let down, that's for sure. No. It was one of the better storytellings.
Yep.
Of all of them, in my opinion.
Yeah, so. I think that's the key between 5, 6, and 7 is they are a good trilogy in the overall 10, 11. I keep forgetting about Hobbs and Shaw. 11 films that we have currently, it's a good trilogy amongst them between 5, 6, and 7. Because again, like I said earlier in the podcast, 7 could have been the end of the story. It leaves it off very nice. So, you know, it is what it is.
Let so talk skip. About the extended version.
The extended version. Okay, so.
What did people not get to see?
So, I honestly don't really know. I know
that's that, just it. I don't know either.
Yeah. So I own these through Fandango. It used to be Vudu, but it's Fandango at home now. And all of so originally when I bought these, it was before F9 came out. I bought the 8 film collection at the time. And most of the versions I have say extended edition, extended version.
And I have not been able to tell the difference in any of them.
The only thing that, I mean, yeah, I mean.
It has to be pointed out to me.
Yeah, and it has, I've literally, because it's because of my own current health issues with my left hand and. Folks, I've said this on other podcasts recently. I don't think I've said it in this show, but with my cerebral palsy affecting my right side, I did something to my left elbow recently. I hit my ulnar nerve or something, and it's affecting my left hand. If my left hand goes, oh boy, I'm in big trouble. But my ring finger and my pinky finger, they're like constantly asleep. Like I've been laying on them too much or something. Like right now they are currently asleep as I'm sitting here.
So you have kind of like neuropathy.
Yeah, I have neuropathy. That's in the other parts of my body, like my legs and my feet and stuff. But now it's in my left hand. Anything happens to my left side, I'm screwed. So my point is that because of my health issues, it's taken us a couple of days, a couple of weeks to get this episode recorded. So I've seen.
Well, it's been a lot of my fault too.
No. It's fine. But my point in saying all any of this is that I've actually watched Fast and Furious 6 four times. And in the four times that I've watched it, I'm like, where's the extra? What is the extra? Why is this an extended edition?
That's the first thing I asked when I got done today.
Yeah. I was like, what is this? Like, I'm assuming it's like 2 or 3 seconds of extra scene or a scene type. Because normally Wikipedia or something would tell me like, hey, it's this, or hey, it's this, or it's this, or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. I couldn't figure it out, but I think it's like what you said.
Yeah.
I think you add like a minute to this scene and a minute and 30 to another scene, and that's your extended version.
Yeah, pretty much. Any other notes that I have?
Actually, you covered this one really good from top to bottom. I mean, you gave it all the fact stats that anybody could ask for, which, you know, you do real well at the beginning of each podcast we do. So you point out all those facts like a T. So, I mean, perfect.
Yep.
But the fun part is just talking about the movie in itself. And to me, I think we covered everything plus some, but, you know, what we get most out of it is the fact that this was such a great story.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else you'd like to say before I throw it to a quick break?
No, that was it really. It's just what you do in the beginning of these podcasts to, you know, give out some of those facts is great. But then when we get talking about the film, I mean, the storyline you go over is just down to a T, and then I get to add in all the silly parts or, you know, things like that. So it works out real well. I mean, I'm having a blast doing these things.
All right, folks, we're going to head to a quick podcast ad break. You're going to hear some podcast ads from some other podcasts that we do here on the Geekcast Radio Network, as well as some other YouTube channels that we promote and other things. And we'll come back to close the show right after this.
Brian, remember the second you go through those doors, everything changes. Our old life is done.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
It's weird, huh? What's weird?
I mean, we got everything. Down to the beer and the barbecue. Boy, it just, I don't know, it just doesn't feel like home. Maybe it's because you don't realize how much you appreciate something until somebody takes it away. I don't know. The place has probably changed so much you probably wouldn't even recognize it anymore.
Yeah. Everything's changed.
So what's up with you? What's going on?
Are you missing entertainment in your life? Welcome to Captain Ruggles Gaming. Whether it's guides, roleplay content, or our shenanigans with our collaborations with the 20 years standing strong Fart Clan, also known as Fast Action Response Team, or the Wrecking Crew, we have something for everyone. So join us when we traverse the cosmos of space games, survive the undead in zombie games, or just having fun in first-person shooters or random indie games. Visit us now at geekcastradio.com and youtube.com/@ Captain Ruggles, or Google search Captain Ruggles Gaming. It's game time, and I'll see you out on the battlefield.
Got some serious balls, man.
I've been told.
No, you're lucky I missed my shot.
I think you hit your mark.
Really? What is it with you? What, do you got a death wish or something?
That's what it takes. I just want a race.
Might lose your car.
Let's do it.
Your funeral.
Ride or die, remember?
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes or GeekCastRadio.com.
All right, this is number 5 on our list.
Holy shit. What's the dude playing on Hunt? Moby Dick?
That must be our guy. So how do y'all want to play this?
Han and I got this. We go in tight, you let me do all the talking, and y'all have my back on it.
There's one thing you boys are forgetting. He's a man. Let's go.
He's a man.
You know, she always says that.
Are you in need of what the heck did I just listen to? Are you in need of a laugh at the expense of the internet? Boy, do I have a treat for you. Here at Lyrically Audacious, we turn just about anything into music. Visit us now at youtube.com/@@lyrically audacious, all one word. So swing by, have a laugh. Stay lyrical, stay audacious, here at Lyrically Audacious.
Oh, Tej and Roman are out. Where are you at?
I'm right behind you.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Nice.
I'm a citizen of the world.
Ever thought about settling down? Starting a life together?
Aren't we doing that?
Are we?
This better have been worth it.
More than you'll ever know.
So this is worth billions, huh?
Yes, it is. Name your price, Don. $13.27.
We're back here inside Studio 2009, only on the GeekCast Radio. This is the Fast and Furious 6 episode. Holy crap, folks. I've spent the last 25 minutes looking to figure out why on Fandango it is the extended cut or extended version or whatever. And thanks to Google, finally I found out why.
Uh-oh.
It's nothing. Absolutely fucking nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Well, that's why I couldn't tell a difference.
The extended cut. Yeah, exactly. The extended cut of Fast and Furious 6 is about 1 minute longer than the theatrical version. This extra minute includes a few extra punches, more CGI blood effects, and some alternate dialogue, but does not drastically change the plot or add significant new scenes.
What a cheesy deal.
Are you fucking kidding me?
And they probably got an extra $5 for that.
Okay, so I don't even know what they got for that, because honestly, like I said before we went to break, I bought this as the 8-film collection at the time on Fandango, formerly Vudu. So I don't care. Like, when I buy things on Fandango, if I buy a film collection like this, I don't care what version of the film it is, as long as I'm, like, that's the whole point for me when I buy film collections. Like, if I'm buying the Ultimate Spider-Man film collection, where it's, like, all the Tobey films, all the Maguire films, all the Tobey Maguire films, all the Andrew.
I was like, wait a second. Got Tobey and Maguire?
Yeah, it's the same thing. I know. I said the wrong damn thing. Look, I was born with brain damage. Damn it. Leave me alone. all the Tobey Maguire films, all the Andrew Garfield films, and all the other Holland films. Like, I don't care what version of the movie they give me. I just want all the damn movies. I just want it for one price. So I'm like, interesting. Like, when I think of extended versions or extended cuts or whatever, I expect that extended cut to add a scene. Like, you know how we talk about how deleted scenes and things like that? I expect the deleted scene to be that's what I expect from an extended cut, to not have, like, to have the scene that the theatrical cut doesn't. That's the whole.
And I'm the same way.
Yeah. That's the whole point of, like, when you get the theatrical, like, a perfect example is something we're never going to get, unfortunately, because WB doesn't like money and they're two cheap bastards and they don't really give two shits about the 30th anniversary of Batman Forever. We are not going to get the Schumacher cut of Batman Forever, which basically has all of the psychological stuff, so when they released Batman Forever 30 years ago, June 16th of 1995, the original cut that Joel Schumacher put together, may the man rest in peace, he died 5 years ago, he had all this Bruce Wayne psychological stuff in the film. They cut all that because for time, and they wanted it to be basically, look at the pretty colors and look at the action, and we want the kids and the whatevers to see all the action and the pretty colors and the comedy and the this and the that and the whatever. Well, there was a rumor that because this is the 30th anniversary of Batman Forever, that we were going to get the Schumacher cut eventually in this, like, one night only or whatever kind of theatrical re-release, whatever, so people could see the Schumacher cut. Well, apparently Warner Brothers isn't going to release the Schumacher cut kind of thing. So that, to me, is what extended cut or extended version is that you put all the stuff in that you would have normally cut out kind of thing. And it's years after release or whatever. Hollywood makes really weird decisions, folks.
Yeah, it's a whole different breed of them.
Yeah. And don't even get me started on Spaceballs 2. I could be here for a whole nother friggin' hour ranting about that.
No. We're good.
For a whole other podcast. So, folks, that's going to do it for us for Fast and Furious 6. You got any final words, anything you'd like to say before I run through the closing, sir?
Just remember to stop by Old Schools and get all your silver and gold needs. Silver is expected to raise. Of course, by the time this comes out, it'll be different. But silver and gold are taking a huge leap come Monday. But check it out. We'll give you a good deal.
What's the website?
Oldschoolscoins.net.
There you go. Absolutely. Visit them all the time, folks. Yeah, so that's going to do it for us. You can check us out on geekcastradio.com. You can check out our shop.geekcastradio.com, where you can buy t-shirts and hats and mugs and all kinds of stuff. You can send feedback to feedback@geekcastradio.com. We are on all the podcatching clients, so Apple, Spotify, etc., etc., etc. We are on Twitter @GeekCastRadio. I am @TFGOandMike. You can also follow @ItStudio2009. You on Twitter, sir, or no?
I am. It's under Old Schools.
Awesome. Yep. You can also check us out on Facebook, GeekCast Radio Network. You can also check out Studio 2009 Podcast over there as well. What about Facebook for you?
I'm Old Schools.
There you go.
With a Z.
With a Z. Always with a Z, folks.
Yep.
Next time, it's the Redheaded Stepchild, the Fast Saga Part 6, Fast and the Furious, Tokyo Drift from 2006. And
I will have to wear my seatbelt for this. Strap up and buckle in, because this is going to be a bumpy ride.
You know, folks, I'm probably going to start the next episode with the audio that I'm going to finish it with this episode. It's like that old tow truck used to say, "I'm king of all the drifters." Because that's the only thing that is good about Tokyo Drift is Mater. Tokyo Mater.
I gotta watch Little Romeo. Whatever his name is.
You mean Bow Wow?
Yeah, Bow Wow. God.
Yeah, it could be worse. It could be Karate Kid 2010 with Jaden Smith.
Hey, the guy who plays the main character, his name's Sean. That's the only thing I got in common with that film.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yep.
But you're cooler than he is. I
would hope so. Although, the cool thing was, is the bad boy of the film, well, I liked him and Tim the Tool Man.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep. For now, I am TF Joe Mike with
Old Schools with a Z.
What a Z. You'll hear us back in the studio soon.
So what's our next adventure after this?
How about we stay in one place?
What are you thinking?
Tokyo. We always talk about Tokyo.
Tokyo it is.
Dominic Toretto. You don't know me. You're about to.